And now, the Corner Office. Political press attaché Joe Delarone gets in-depth on the issues with Grand Chief Joe Tequiro Norton.
Welcome to the Corner Office. That office has been a very busy place. We'll start off with this week. You were out in Val-d'Or talking to a great number of other chiefs in Quebec. Big issue that came up. Just tell us about it.
Well, that began on the weekend, on Saturday. Regional Vice Chief Ghislain Picard and I had a discussion about, you know, what was going on, and it was expressing my frustration at the way things were evolving and the news information that was coming out, and, you know, having the Minister of Public Security on TV crying over the matter and saying, you know, Ghislain, we got to do something about this. So he says, well, I asked him, I said, do you think it's possible to have a gathering in Val-d'Or? And he said, sure, I'll get back to you. So over the weekend, very quickly, within 48 hours, we had confirmation we were going to get together on Monday, you know. So Sunday, all the information went out, and people were informed and began to respond very quickly. So we had honor about 30 chiefs that participated in this gathering, starting about 8 o'clock in the morning right up until like 3:30 something, culminating in a press conference. And the press was quite, they were there in numbers, not only locally, but, you know, from Montreal, CTV, CBC, APTN was there. And
it became a national story.
It became a national story, yes. A lot of interest, a lot of sympathy, a lot of concern that, you know, this sort of thing is happening, and it's not new. It goes back in time. You know, it goes back years now. This has been happening to residents, native residents of Val-d'Or. It was explained to us that many people have to live there, young people, because of the fact that in their communities, they don't have the educational facilities and all of that. So at a very young age, they will move and go to Val-d'Or and grow up in a setting that's not really conducive to the way what they're used to and what they understand about themselves culturally and all of that. So yeah, it's true. They wind up just like everybody. Not say everybody, but a lot of young people from remote areas that find themselves caught up in drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing, and then wind up being very vulnerable and victims of not just the police but the non-native people in that particular area.
The whole issue of police is very difficult because police are always supposed to be, you know, upholding the law. The peacekeepers, for example, to serve and protect, you know,
yes.
And that's what they're doing. It's easy to say that, you know, there are a great many great police officers who live by that, but there are significant other numbers who don't. And in this case, they singled out several officers that they identified. But the problem goes beyond that.
Well, I called it institutionalized racism, simply because there's a culture out there that speaks to the lack of any kind of value on Native people right across the board. And I guess it's within their upbringing, the way they were raised, the schools that they went to, the various institutions that have provided them with background, and there's no real acknowledgement or understanding of Native people and relationship with them, or the lack of relationship. So they see what they see and they take full advantage of it because it's within their psyche. It's not something that they have any real way of saying, well, you know, they're just like everybody else, or we should treat them equally right across the board.
It sounds like there's a need for some actual cultural sensitivity training as part of the basic training to become a police officer, especially if you're going to be serving up in those regions, because otherwise, if that's all you know, nothing's going to change.
Well, it goes beyond that. I think the premier of the province of Quebec has to stand up and say, our government will not stand for this, and people in Quebec should, you know, be prepared to start thinking a new way relations with the First Nations in Quebec.
I think some of them are embarrassed, but also sadly I see that there are a number of people are coming out in support of the police, and it's one thing to support the police, but in a case like this, it's very, very difficult to sit by and watch, especially if you're a Native person, and 10 times worse or 100 times worse if you're a victim of this type of abuse.
Well, what's happened now is the police are trying to make themselves the victim, saying that, you know, it's because these Native people come and because they're drunk, because they take drugs, they're dangerous, you know, and all these kinds of things. And when their public security minister, who came out on Friday, I believe it was, crying on TV about how shocked she was at the way the Native people were treated by her very police force, they were absolutely, they went berserk. And there's a petition out right now saying that the public security minister should apologize to them. You know, they got like 2,000 names, I think it's on or about support for that kind of thing. So the general attitude out there is, you know, the police are right, police are correct, and they could no more do that kind of thing to Native people as they could to their own people.
Well, you did have a meeting. Something did come of it. There was a resolution to contact the Premier and say we have to meet as soon as possible. And actually, that looks like it's going to be happening.
Yes, there was a proposal that was put together, or a demand, let's put it that way. Proposal is too soft. A demand that was sent out, first and foremost, a meeting with the Premier, because it's the Premier that ultimately has responsibility for all sectors of the government, and he's answerable to the public for that. So it was best, we said, we'll meet with him, because there were offers to meet with the Policemen's Union and all those kinds of things, but all they're going to say basically is, oh, well, you know, when the investigation is over and done with, then we will then decide what we're going to do. So we said, no, we have to meet with the Premier. And the demand was that we have no faith, no trust in the SQ, none in the, no police forces anyway, no faith in them to do a proper investigation on what's gone on up there, because the SQ initially said, in that region, said they would do their own investigation. Then it was passed on to the MUC. And we have no faith and no trust in them. You know, they belong to the same union, you know, and they're going to look at it from that point of view, protect your own. There might be a few sacrifices, throw a couple of people under the bus, but this has been happening so long. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, I should say, when this information came out, it went countrywide and international. I heard from across Canada, from British Columbia and other parts of the country, that similar things have happened out there too. So it's widespread. It's not isolated to Val-d'Or. It's all over the place. So the meeting with the Premier has been confirmed. He's also come out very strongly that he's in support of the idea of having a public inquiry using our police force, First Nations as part of that public inquiry. And we have suggested that we use our police forces to be involved in that. Peacekeepers, Matthew Kuhnkamp from Grand Council of the Cree offered the use of his police forces, you know, who are top-notch, to be part of an investigation to find out exactly what went on, what happened, how long, who's involved, so on, etc. I know it's going to drive the Policemen's Union nuts, but so what? You know, we don't give a damn about them anymore, because they're just going to there to protect their own. They're not there to find out what the truth is.
Well, in the case where the Premier Couillard is saying, well, you know what, I'm supporting you know, an inquiry, will that maybe spark the quicker movement of the overall inquiry? When you look at the demand with the missing and murdered Aboriginal women, Prime Minister designate Trudeau has said he supports that. Yeah. Maybe this will actually speed up the process.
Well, I forgot to mention that part too. Part of the demand was, you know, that the national inquiry also be supported by Couillard, and to press the federal government, you know, start that process now, because Once the information got out there, as I mentioned earlier on, that the rest of the country were starting to hear now how the exact same things or similar things are happening all over.
So the AFNQL is having a meeting next week, in the middle of the week sometime, and also the Premier will be there.
The 3rd and the 4th here in Montreal.
I'm trying to remember what days those are.
I believe that's Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, okay.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Tuesday and Wednesday. The 4th is when he has agreed to appear with the, and you know, talk with the First Nations about some, and what we'd like to see to give this thing as much clout as possible is have the Premier and perhaps Ghislain Picard head up this inquiry. Not necessarily to be involved directly, but have oversight. Represent, of course, Ghislain representing the First Nation side, and the Premier heading up the Quebec government side.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
It is, yeah. Yeah. It would be a first.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that good minds come up with good solutions in a very bad story. Yeah. Speaking of Premier Couillard, this week you met with representatives of the Quebec government in one of the regular sessions. One of them is hoping, in preparation for a very hoped for, soon to be held meeting between you and the Premier, as well as a whole bunch of other topics. So maybe you can just give us an update on where we stand there and how the meeting went.
Well, the meeting went in part well and in part not well, simply because, and I don't want to go into any detail right now, I haven't made an update with the council on the meeting itself. We need to strategize how to bring this the issues to the public in terms of taxation, you know, and things of that nature. But on the other hand, we've made some headway in terms of a number of issues. One of them basically is the Highway 30 issue and the lawsuit concerning Chateauguay and the MRC surrounding areas, and that that we will be coming back to the public quite soon to advise them on a plan of action, a joint plan of action between the MTQ, MCK, and the Native Affairs branch of the government of Quebec, on how to, I guess, best utilize the land that's there, sitting there right now, regardless of whether there's a lawsuit or not. So they're ready to advance beyond, let's not worry about the lawsuit, let's start developing the land according to what you guys want to do, you know, meaning Ganawage. The meeting with Couillard is still in the works. Again, it's been put off on a number of occasions. That is quite disappointing. I said, you know, basically, that is an important factor in kicking off, you know, kick-starting a whole series of issues that need to be dealt with. One of the main things, 2 weeks ago, as a matter of fact, the day of the rally in Montreal, we had a morning meeting with the Premier's chief of staff to discuss exactly setting the agenda. And what came out of that, I said, look, we got to do business a different way now. We can't continue to do it, to do what we've been doing, you know, and you can agree politically, do the photo op, shake hands, all that kind of stuff, the Premier and myself, all looks well, and everything gets shoved into the bureaucracy, and it disappears in there. And you sit, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, you know. And it's, as I've said, on so many occasions, you cannot fit a round peg into a square hole, and that's what they're trying to do, you know. And we keep telling them that's not going to work. So the thinking there now is, okay, what do you mean by outside of normal business? We create a whole new sector, if you will, other than having to deal with finances, the SAQ, whoever else, you know. We deal with it separately on another scale, in another way. It's working towards having a, I guess, somewhat of a treaty, if you want to call it that. I called it that. It raised a few eyes, but at the same time, though, it did spark some thinking.
Maybe is there a chance that the, you know, it's taking a while because the Premier has to get more of a sense of Joe Norton, where he stands today, knowing who you are and how you've operated and what has happened in the past. Maybe there's a little... Have you ever met Premier Couillard before?
No, I've never met him. I saw him last summer in Quebec, you know, but I didn't really take the opportunity at that time to talk to him. But, of course, he was surrounded by chiefs and all of that. And I wasn't a chief back then, so I was sitting in the in the background. But since then, however, we've sent letters out and requesting that we meet. And gradually the pressure is building now over the necessity of having to have this discussion as quickly as possible. I mean, I'm patient. I mean, I said to some of the officials, you know, at this point, you know, I kind of said, if he doesn't want to meet, well, that's too bad. He's losing out, not me, you know, kind of thing. We'll go and do our thing, and in the end, there may be a clash that will bring us to the table, such as Val-d'Or, you know, but maybe that's what needs to be done.
In a previous, and it might have been the previous corner office discussion that we had, you mentioned a possible health facility project that could be very, very positive. Maybe that's something that could get him to the table saying that, wait, it's not all the controversies and difficulties, because it's early. We can't really give out too much, but we did talk about this potential facility that actually I think most governments in Canada, especially the provincial governments, would be happy with. And, and you know, you could say there could even be an actual partnership at some point down the line.
Well, there, I'll categorize it as proposals and projects, because there are several. Yesterday's discussion, actually, we talked about the possibility of a venture between Côte Saint-Catherine and Ganawaga in developing, expanding their port facilities, their docking facilities, into Ganawaga so that we can utilize it too. That I can, you know, can verify, because that's been a discussion that's been ongoing for a while that only came to a halt because of the lawsuit. Possibilities of doing that is another, because the Quebec government has come out with its grand plan on marinas, on the marine sector of Quebec, you know, and they want to improve on that. So that could be something. It could be this idea of a medical facility. I don't want to go into any details on that. We're not
we're not there yet.
Yeah, we're not there yet, so we can't really say anything. And then the possibility of utilizing 30 lands, you know, expanding it beyond and going beyond, you know, the restrictions that a legal issue. So there's ways of doing things, coming at it from an economic angle, that then could bring us to the table. It should be a very positive, as you said, besides the controversial stuff.
Well, let's hope that it it gets to that point and that the decision is made to meet quickly, rather than, well, you know, the new year is coming up, because all of a sudden we find ourselves in November, and then you're looking at Christmas and everything else. So,
I think we have enough pressure points to be able to turn the screws on them, and that's the way I look at it. The longer they wait, you know, the more it's to their disadvantage not to meet with us. So I'm not going to start ranting and raving about how upset, how angry I am, and all that. Is basically you wanted to continue as business as usual, then you're losing out on a lot of opportunity here.
All right, Grand Chief Joseph Tokwira Norton, there's plenty to talk about. We can't stay here all day. Well, actually, we could, but the listeners may take umbrage with that. So what we'll do here is we'll say we're going to have to do this again, hopefully as soon as next week, because
there's
plenty to update on. And we thank you for your time today.
My pleasure. Yo.
This has been The Corner Office with political press attaché Joe Delarone and Grand Chief Joseph Tokwira Norton.